Before we begin our study together, let's pray. Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech ha'olam, asher kidshanu b'mitzvotav, v'tzivanu la'asok b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctifies us with his commands and commands us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. Amen. Later this morning, we're going to receive new members into the congregation, and we want to use this as a time to help you understand membership in the congregation and spiritual principles and foundations that are very, very important in order to understand both our synagogue and the Messianic movement. Rabbi Uri and I will both be sharing. This is a team message this morning, so you're going to be hearing from both of us. We read in this week's Torah portion about a new concept, the house of God. Jacob has an experience with God, and he recognizes something, that he was in a place where he didn't even know God was, and he calls it the house of God, and it becomes a foundation concept upon which the community, the kehillah, the community of faith is built. So the place Bethel, house of God, is a foundation, it's a precedent for the continuing presence of the house of God among the Jewish people. We see the tabernacle of Moses, and it's called the house of God. And then the tabernacle of David becomes the house of God. And then when the temple in Jerusalem is built, it becomes the house of God. And then we even read that the synagogues in the diaspora, even the synagogues in Jerusalem and throughout Israel, become the house of God. And that prepares the way for the messianic synagogue that develops at the time of Yeshua. The synagogue that is made up of Jewish believers in Messiah, as well as those from other nations who are being joined to the God of Israel through Messiah. The messianic synagogue becomes the house of God. So when we're thinking about the house of God, it's a critically important concept. God wants us to expect that when we gather together, he's going to be present with us. And he wants us to understand he's not looking for the club of God. He's not looking for the concerts, for the programs. He is looking for the community, the kehillah, the congregation, those who are called out of the world into service to the one true God. And he wants us to have a heart for the house of God. So we see that in the progress of the scriptures, and then in Jeremiah 23, which we share with everyone who is coming to the welcome class and the membership class. Jeremiah 23 gives a prophetic word about the spiritual revival and the physical revival and restoration and regathering of the Jewish people. And God says that he will regather the Jewish people wherever they've been scattered and bring them back to their folds, to their sheepfolds, which means he will gather them up as a flock, and then he will give shepherds for them. Now, what we understand is this, that is prophetic vocabulary for a return to the kehillah, to the congregation. That rather than be scattered outside of the community of faith, they will regather and they will have shepherds raised up. So the whole idea of messianic rabbis is not just to be teachers or to be, some kind of a religious officiant, but to be shepherds who gather the flock. And the result, the blessing that is promised in Jeremiah 23, is that those who gathered will not be missing any longer. They'll be taken care of. They won't be afraid. They won't be lacking. They will regularly gather together and be well tended. It goes on to say in Jeremiah 23, and you can read this on your own. You should read this on your own. You should know this inside and out for yourself in order to explain who you are and what God is doing. it says that all of this is going to be done under the auspices, if you will, of Messiah. It uses the term branch of David, which is a biblical idiom for Messiah, because God promises to raise up for David, King David, a branch who is Messiah. And so what we understand is the revival of the Jewish people is more than the regathering of the Jewish people in the land of Israel. As important as that is, it will never be the full expression of what God wants to do unless the people are also revived and restored to God. And not just restored as individuals, restored as a people and restored into the house of God through the congregations that God raises up. So that's a important concept that I want to introduce to you, and we'll continue to explore it in the time to come. Right now, I want Rabbi Uri to share with you some additional thoughts. And these are very important things that he's going to be sharing. I encourage you to take notes, to listen to the podcast, and to outline for yourself and to review these teachings. It's important to do your homework. That means read the scriptures before you come and read them again after. And be like the Bereans, the faithful ones, who read the scriptures in order to see if everything they were being taught could be found in the scriptures. So please welcome Rabbi Uri.
Shabbat Shalom. I think what to say now. I want to share something so important personally for me, for my life, and this is what I want to share with you. Once changed my life. I'm not just doing it, it's something bigger. Sometimes people who like to say something, they try to make something more or much or big and looks like better. But no, this revelation really changed my personal life. So I want to share my experience with you. And I want to start with today's Torah portion, and powerful Torah portion, very strong. If you read carefully, you will notice everything what's happened there. Jacob, you know this story, he went out of his homeland, out of his family, and so he goes to other land. So he, in the way there, verse 11, he happened upon a certain place, it's for chapter 28, and spent the night there. For the sun had set. So he took one of the stones from the place and put it by his head and lay down in that place. And verse 12, you know this story about dreams of Jacob. Jacob's dream. It's a powerful place of scripture. He saw the incredible dream. He saw the verse 12. He dreamed all of a sudden there was a stairway set up on the earth, and its top reaching to the heavens. And behold, angels of God going up and down on it. And we see there, Adonai stands up there. You know the story, what's happened next. He woke up, and do you remember what kind of feeling he had in his heart? Who remember what he felt in that moment? Okay, who can give more? Joy, gladness, dance, what he did there. Okay, thank you so much. Homework is done. Verse 17, it's so powerful. So he was afraid, let's say together, afraid. And the word it's used here, it's not just simple fear. He was consumed by fear of God. It's powerful. How fearsome this place is. This is none other than the house of God. This must be gate of heaven. I heard many teaching about this stairway to heaven from the earth. I heard the messages. I read the books. And I know that many people focus on the angels coming from the heaven. They focus about personal relationship between Jacob and the Lord. And sometimes we can miss the point of everything, what's happened there. And you know, the scriptures can explain the scriptures the better way than people can explain it. And Jacob, he get the point. He understood the meaning of dream. He receives revelation from the Lord. What it was? He called the name of that place Beth El. Let's say Beth El. House of God. He understood the main point, what the Lord wants to show him. It's not only about angel presence. It's not only about miracles. It's not only about personal relationships. You know, all is included in the house of the Lord. He showed him revelation about building of the house of the Lord. This was so powerful. And from this point, we can see there, Mishkana, Tabernacle of Moses, Rabbi David already said about it, presence of the angels, ministry of the Lord was in the Mishkana, in the temple. And today, we are the Mishkana of the Lord. He is here. Local congregation, place where he wants to meet with us. He wants to answer our prayers. He wants to fill us with his spirit. We live in the time when people are so independent and they want to do what they want to do. They want to go wherever they want to go. And they want Lord's blessing upon them. Everybody wants to have Lord's blessings. Who wants to have blessings from the Lord? I will not ask who wants to have curses. It's not helpful. Everyone wants to be blessed. Jacob received revelation and very powerful. He called his name place Beth El. And verse 22, so this stone which I set up as a memorial stone will become God's house. And of everything you provide me, I will definitely give a tenth of it to you. So he speaks about building of the house of the Lord. And I want to give you a small test, homework. Please think about it. Read carefully. Where Adonai met with Abraham when Abraham saw that three men comes to him. Two were angels, and one of them was Messiah, Yeshua. Where it was? Please read carefully at home. You will find something very interesting. So, when Jacob woke up, he received a great revelation from the Lord. And it was so powerful in his life. It shaped his life. It shaped his future. It shaped his destiny. So now he's going to the foreign land, but he has something inside of him. He put a stone. He gave promise. He bind himself with covenant with the Lord. Tenth, it's sign of covenant. Do you know it's scripture? When people brought the tenth of everything, it was sign of covenant, and still it's sign of covenant. If you're in covenant, it's your part. It's your part. So what's happened now in the Brit HaChadasha, New Testament? I want to read it from Matthew chapter 16. And this idea still in the Brit HaChadasha, and even more developed today than before during the Jacob time. The Lord developed this idea about house of the Lord. He bring this idea to us. Verse 13. When Yeshua came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say that Son of Man is? Who do people say? And you know, during his time in the earth, he was crowded by the thousands of people. Thousands. They received miracles from him. They received food from him. They received supply from him. But it was crowds. They were crowd around him. So he asked, who do you think what they speak about me? They answered, some say John the Immerser. Others say Elijah. And still others say Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. He said, but who do you say I am? This is the moment of truth for them and for us today. This is what separates the crowds from Talmidim. This answer, this response, define us where we are, who we are. Are we followers of Yeshua or we are crowd around him? This was the moment of encounter between the Lord and Peter. You know, even demons, they believe that God exists. You know it? Everyone believes. Even those who are atheists, if something happens, they say, "Oh, Lord, help me." It's very common in Russian. "Help me, Lord." But this moment was a specific moment into the heart of Peter, Shimon. Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Yeshua said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also tell you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my community, and gates of Sheol will not overpower it." And we know that Lord does not build upon the people. He speaks about revelation, about this great experience that Peter has with the Lord, with Father. The Holy Spirit, Ruach HaKodesh, revealed him revelation about Yeshua. This was the moment of faith. And this is so important for us. So important for us. This was separate him from the rest of the people, rest of the crowd. If you are want to be son of God, child of God, you will have two steps in your life. Most important. First of all, you should accept Yeshua as a personal Lord and Savior. This was the moment for Peter. This was the answer. Faith in his heart. You are the Messiah. You are the Son of the living God. We can play in games, we can believe, not believe, but this question for you today in your life. If you believe the Messiah, Yeshua, the Son of the living God. Be born again, you know, sometimes people speak about it, or born from the Spirit. You can call it as you want, but the same here, the same idea. This is possible only in personal encounter with the Lord through His Spirit. Only. When only you and the Lord, nobody else. And he asks you, "Who do you think I am? Am I?" You answer. This is the holiest moment in the earth when Spirit of God, Ruach HaKodesh, give birth to the dead spirit of the man, sinner, who are dead because of the sins. And this is the moment when Peter says, "You are," and we tell him, I remember my moment in my life when the Lord asked me personally, "Who do you think am I?" And I need to bow down before him and say, "You are the Mashiach, Son of the living God." This is the moment when faith from the Lord came in my heart, changed my life, and Spirit of God bring the life in my heart and my spirit. Everything changed. And I believe so the same with you. Amen. But sometimes people are stopping here and says, "Okay, I'm a believer, I receive Yeshua as a Messiah. Once I stood up in the service and say, I'm a believer, I confess, and it's all." No, it's not all, it's only the beginning. Amen. This is first step in our life. To accept Yeshua as a Messiah, this is means you're born again. You're not died again. You're born again. Everything started for you. Can you imagine? Today we may altar call, and who want to be born again? Who want to receive Yeshua? You raise your hand, and your body here, your soul there. No, we don't want this way. We want still continuing the Lord. But this is not that. Let's say together, it's not the end. Yeshua told him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, because not flesh and blood did reveal it for you, but my Father." And he says, "Upon this rock I will build my community, and gates of Sheol will not overpower it." This is not separation. This is the same revelation. If you receive Spirit of God, if you're born again from the Lord, the next step, you are going to be in the community of the Lord's. You can't separate yourself from the body. Can you answer me? How long your leg will survive without your head? If you will put it in the freezer, maybe a little bit longer. Give some salt there. Oh, what are you talking about? But reality today, so many believers are going without congregations. They're wandering around. They're looking for something from one place to other. They don't have rabbis. They don't have pastors. They don't have shepherds in their life. They're separated from the life of Messiah. Because according to biblical truth, if you read carefully, all the Rabbi Shaul posts and everyone, they speak to congregations. The gifts given to congregations to build the community, to build the body of Messiah. This is why it's so important to be in the body of Messiah. Please read it carefully from this point of view. And you will understand, when Jacob woke up, he was afraid. He understood revelation from the Lord. He understood this not just only with him and the Lord, it's all. He don't say, oh Lord, thank you so much. It means, you love me, I love you, I will go wherever I want to go. No. He understood this is the house of the Lord. And it's not only about me. It's about generation after me. And it's about house of the Lord, in the house of the Lord. My generation's there. I want for my son and for his children to be in the house of the Lord. This only safety place. And really, I want the best for you also. And I don't want to offend anyone. Please, don't be offended. If you offend, please forgive me. In credit. But I want to tell you the truth. The Lord loves you so much. And he wants to see you in the right place, right position, in the house of the Lord. Amen. Born again, full of spirit, fit in the community of believers. Amen. Thank you.
So picking up on these thoughts, it's important to remember the nature of Peter's calling. He was an apostle to what group? The Jews. Apostle to the Jews. Yes. He's apostle to the Jews. Let's get that right, okay? And tell your neighbor if they didn't know. He was a Jewish apostle. Peter was a Jewish apostle. So his calling was to the Jewish people first. God did use him to reach the first Gentiles and bring them into the body. And it just shows you how it's not an exclusivity and it's not a wall, it's not a barrier, but the calling is very specific. And so this passage in Matthew 16 is not about Pope Peter. It's, if I can talk frankly, it's about the revelation of Messiah. And so the revelation of Messiah is the foundation by which the community of faith, the new covenantal community, is built. Now, if you have in your English Bible or you have in your personal vocabulary the word church, I want you to put that word aside for a moment and everything that you may have thought about that, because the word church is neither in the Greek nor the Hebrew or any derivative. Church is not derived from a Greek word or a Hebrew word. The word in the Hebrew here is in the Greek is ekklesia. And what that means is those who are called out. And ekklesia was the Greek word that was chosen by Greek-speaking Jews to translate kehila, kahal, and adat, the community of faith. It was applied to the community of Israel, the people of Israel, when they were called out of Egypt to Sinai and to make covenant with God. In the Greek version of the Tanakh, they were called the ekklesia, the called out ones. So Yeshua is saying, in the same way that Israel was called out of Egypt, for what purpose? To serve the Lord. In the same way, the Jewish people and the nations are called out of regular life in the world to become the community of faith and the community of God. The key is not what did your parents tell you you were when you were born, you know, you were this group or that, but the key is that everyone would be a person of faith and that everyone would have this revelation that Yeshua is Messiah, Son of the living God, Son of man. And upon this revelation, even every demonic force, every power, every principality, the adversary himself will not be able to prevail against this revelation, and he will not be able to overcome those who are part of the community of faith. Not just as individuals, but together, we will be preserved by Messiah Yeshua. So this is foundational. It's very, very important to get this clear and to have understanding for ourselves. When we are welcoming people as members, they've gone through a process. They've participated in the welcome class and the membership class. Our processes have changed over the years, so we want to update you. That's one of our goals for today and also for the future. We want you to be understanding where we are and where we're headed and how we understand things as well. And people who want to become members apply. They say, I want to, and they fill out an application. We have an interview. We have a discussion with them about their story and about how they came to the congregation and their journey here and how they want to serve in the congregation as well. So it's a wonderful time that we have getting to know each other, and they fill out an application, and they make a request. I want to become a member. So unlike some places, we make it a little harder for people to get in. We make it easy for them to get out. But harder to get in, because that's the nature of the body of Messiah. The body of Messiah is made up of people who have counted the costs. It's very important. You don't want to start and then not finish. You count the costs. So in our membership application and in our welcome and membership class, we introduce a number of commitments that we want to see everyone who's a member share in. So one of the commitments is this, and that's to be a member of the synagogue and not a member of multiple congregations. In other words, to be planted, committed, and accountable inside the congregation so that we as leaders can give an account to the Lord. We can seek your good. We can know who we're responsible for before God and who we're not. And so that every member can be single-minded in where they're joined. The scripture talks about us as palm trees that are planted in the house of God, or olive trees that are planted in the house of God, which means we sink our roots down, we get established, we grow, we thrive, we prosper. Of course, it's necessary to move sometimes. We understand all that. You can't live in a Navy town without understanding that. However, we're not made up of people who just dart back and forth. They have no commitments. You know, they're here, they're there, they're everywhere. They're the rabbits in the kingdom of God. We want to be olive trees in the house of God. Now, there are a series of commitments that we communicate. We ask people to tell us that they share in these commitments. And I just want to run through them quickly with you because they're very concrete, they're very specific, they're understandable by people of all ages. And if we were to take out any one of these commitments, the actual quality of the congregation would deteriorate. It would be a different kind of congregation. So number one commitment is to maintain a healthy personal relationship with the Lord. We are made up of members, each of whom has put their trust in Messiah Yeshua and wants to have a personal relationship with God. This is one of the qualities of the new covenant, that people want to know the Lord. They're not being pressured to know the Lord. If you feel that you're being pressured all the time, maybe you're not part of the new covenant community yet. It's a desire to know the Lord and to walk with the Lord. Not just to know about him, but to know him. A second commitment, to support the Messianic Jewish vision of the synagogue. We are a synagogue. Smile at someone next to you and tell them, we're a synagogue. We are a synagogue, and we follow a pattern of a synagogue rather than a pattern of a club, a concert, a program, an event, or a church. Once I was traveling with a progressive rabbi, reform rabbi, you would say, in the United States. In Ukraine, we were on a train together. We happened to be in the next compartment from each other, and we spent a few hours together talking about things. And he said, you Messianic Jews, you're really Christians. And I said, actually, we're not. And he said, yeah, there's no difference. I said, yeah, there is. We're Jewish. And we're made up of Jews as a congregation, plus those from other nations, for sure. Turns out that his great-great-great-grandfather was a convert to Judaism. Uh-huh. So I said, and we're not the same as the Karaites. You may not know who the Karaites are, but hundreds of years ago in the area of Turkey and around the Black Sea, there was a movement that emerged that did not accept Talmud and didn't accept rabbinic authority and teachings that went against the Torah and the scriptures. They only accepted the scriptures in their own particular understanding. And so there was a battle royal, you can imagine, in the Jewish world. And the Jewish rabbinical community said to them, you're not Jewish. And of course they said, well, you're not. And that's a traditional Jewish way of arguing. Eventually, this community began to call themselves the Karaites. And they were considered to be outside of the Jewish world. They allowed themselves to be excluded from the Jewish world. And they happened to be well represented in the area where I was having this conversation with this rabbi. So I said, and we're not like the Karaites. And he said, what do you mean? I said, you can't get rid of us. We're not going anywhere. We had a great time. Now, almost 15 years later, I think it is, in Israel, the Karaites are being welcomed back into the Jewish world, even though they're not compromising on their understanding about that oral Torah is not really Torah, and that the Talmud is really not the inspired word and authoritative word of God. But it's interesting to see that happen. So we are a synagogue in the same way that Yaakov James is writing about the community of faith in throughout Israel and the diaspora. He says, when a rich man or a poor man comes into your synagogue, that's what it says in the Greek. It's rarely translated that way into English because of the implications, right? Because what are the implications? There were messianic synagogues. Yeah, the Greek text and the Hebrew text are radical. They're full of life. And they will undermine false religious traditions and errors in history as well. So when you come into contact with what the scriptures actually say, you'll be amazed about how radical they are and how much truth they actually carry. It is important for us to lay hold of that and to gather on, to gather around it and to make sure that we ourselves see this, the truth. So we are looking for people who support the Messianic Jewish vision of the synagogue. We are a synagogue. We gather as a synagogue. We function as a synagogue. And we are not trying to be something else. So we're looking for those who share in that. A third commitment is to regularly attend Shabbat and holiday services because participating is important. It's not enough to be on a list. It's important to be together. The house of God forms powerfully when people are together. And so I encourage you to be consistent in your attendance, even, and this may seem radical for some of you, we don't expect everybody to come to every service, but there are times in your life, there are seasons in your life when you need to be at every service, when you need to be at Friday and Saturday service, because you need more time with the people of God than you're getting. And I want to tell you, some of you, you're serving very well and faithfully in the congregation, but your mind is on the ministry when you're coming here, and you need a second dose where you can just receive for yourself. And I encourage you, take that time, make a habit of getting what you need. And there are others who are feeling like, well, I'm kind of overdone in life. I'm so busy with this, that, and the other. I would say carve out time on Shabbat because you'll be rested and refreshed. Come both days and get what you need. But we look for everybody to regularly attend. A fourth commitment is to serve in the synagogue's ministries. There are many activities that are worthwhile. But when a member joins, they're saying, I want to count on the synagogue, and I want the synagogue to count on me. And so I'm going to serve with my gifts and talents and according to the needs of the congregation in the ministries of the synagogue. A fifth commitment is to faithfully give my tithes and my offerings. And I want to add some details to that because it's become clear in having conversation with people that it's important to add some clarity to this. As an example, in the Hebrew and in the Greek, the word tithe is actually tenth. You can say that with me, tenth. And so it means 10%. It's a measure. And in Torah, the tithe is to be brought to the Levites, which gives us some clear understanding. You see, the Levites were taken by God specially for service for Israel. They were God's choice. And it wasn't an option for Israel, do you want to do it or not do it? It wasn't an option for the Levites, do you want to do it or not do it? They were all called without their choice. Do you get that? And God said, the Levites belong to me, and they're a substitute for taking the firstborn. But God put his claim on the Levites, and they are the ones who are supposed to receive the tithe. You see, God puts his claim on the tithe. It's part of the covenant God made with Israel, and it's extended continually into the future, into the house of God. And so the claim that God has is really on everything, but he only asks that we return the 10% to him. But interestingly, the first generation of believers, the first disciples in Jerusalem, were not satisfied just giving the 10%. They considered everything they had to be from the Lord. And they were so touched by what Yeshua had done, by the resurrection and by the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and by the formation of this new covenant, this Brit HaChadashah, a living new covenant with the Jewish people, that they counted everything that they had as belonging to the Lord. And they brought everything. Whenever there was a need, people were even willing to sell property in order to provide for one another. That didn't go over so well in the Gentile world, but it was still important. The sixth commitment, to pray for the synagogue, its leaders, and its ministries. We need prayer. We absolutely need prayer. There are some times when you'll recognize a weakness in one of us, and that's the Holy Spirit showing you how to pray for us. And so when you pray for us, he strengthens us. Just like when Moses needed his hands lifted up in order for Israel to have victory in battle. He needed people standing there, lifting up their hands. Pray for us. Pray for the synagogue. Pray for the leaders. Pray for the ministries in the congregation. And I feel compelled to return back. You may feel like I'm overdwelling on tithes and offerings recently, but I really am talking to you about this because I want to see good for you and through you. And I want to make one more distinction that's important. The tithe, the 10%, is to be brought to the local congregation. There are people who listen to us by podcast, and we encourage you to give your tithes to the local congregation. Your offerings, your additional giving, can be distributed in different ways. But when you give something, for instance, to a family member in need, that's not your tithe. That's not counted towards your tithe in God's economy. When you give to a homeless person who you meet, and these are good things to do, mind you, these are where you're giving those extra offerings as well. The tithe is to be brought into the congregation, and you see that in the book of Acts, that the congregation brought its finances into the local congregation, into the leaders. So I encourage you to make that distinction. And the tithe is not to just be given all over the place. It's to be given into the house of God where you are a functioning member and accountable. And I encourage you to take that very seriously. And the tithe being 10% is important. So if you found out that you weren't giving the tithe and you meant to, you may have been giving half the tithe. And I would encourage you, fix it. Because in the same way that you fix anything in your life, fix such matters, and you'll find blessing that comes to you. The Lord says, when you bring the full measure, the full 10%, and the pattern that Abraham, that Jacob, and I think Isaac as well, and that continues beyond, the pattern that they set was of everything that the Lord gives, everything. It's an amazing pattern. 7th commitment, to maintain unity with synagogue leaders and members. Do you remember at Sinai, Israel was in unity? And then it happened again one more time. It was in the upper room when there were 120 Jews. Not so many. And they were in one accord, and they stayed in one accord for a period of time. And that really is a miracle. Because you know the Jewish saying, where there are two Jews, there are three opinions. But to maintain unity doesn't mean you agree on every detail. What it means is you have unity of purpose, unity of commitment, unity of value, and you want to walk in goodwill towards each other. It's so important to have unity with us and with other members of the congregation. And that leads to the last commitment that we number, and that's to resolve disagreements in peaceful, honorable ways, avoiding both gossip and sowing seeds of discord. So there will be disagreements. How many of you are convinced of that? There will be disagreements. But we resolve those disagreements in peaceful ways, in honorable ways, even if we agree to disagree. And we do it without gossip, and we do it without sowing seeds of discord. Now, the scriptures makes clear that gossip is a sin equal to murder because it's the murder of another person's reputation. And it's just as hard to repair the damage caused by gossip as the life lost because of murder. And that is why they're treated so seriously. And so we know this. We don't want to be in a congregation filled with gossip, do you? You know, if you're in a social group and people are trash-talking about somebody in that group who's not there, guess what happens when you're not there? They're talking about you. We don't want to be a community of gossipers. And so if someone comes to you and they're gossiping, you know what you can do? You can just be real sweet and say to them, "Now, honey, we don't do that here. We don't gossip. If you've got a problem with someone, pray for them. If you need to work it out, work it out. But don't be gossiping." Now, the second part of this is sowing seeds of discord. This is different than gossip. This is where we're trying to get people on our side against others. And we're trying to undermine something through that process. The scriptures treat sowing seeds of discord differently from normal personal individual sins. They're not just interpersonal sins, they're sins against the body and the whole community, and so they have to be treated differently. There's a confrontation, if necessary, and if there is not repentance, there has to be a separation and discipline associated with that. Because sowing seeds of discord is a sin against God, it's a sin against Messiah, it's a sin against the body, it's a sin against the congregation, and it allows the adversary to destroy the faith that people have and the good relationships that they have. So they're not, that sin, the sowing the seeds of discord, is not the same as just trash talking. But there have been people in many places who think that winning the argument and getting people divided but on their side is okay. And I can tell you, it's not okay in God's eyes. So we treat that very seriously. And we want to be a group of people that can work through disagreements. We can do it in a peaceful way and in a loving way. And with that in mind, there's only one other thing that we ask of people in the application. If they decide to terminate their membership or join another congregation, that they'll let us know and not just disappear. And as I said earlier, we make it harder to get in and easier to get out. The definition for me, or one of the qualities of a cult, is it's easy to get in, it's very hard or impossible to get out. But in a healthy community, it should be really clear what you're committing to and what you are saying you can count on us for. And so I want to share that with you, because now we're going to receive some new members. And I want you to welcome them in your hearts, and I want you to have open hearts and develop relationships with them as well. So, Rabbi Yuri, I'll turn this part over to you. And parents, you can get your kids from the Shabbat school. If they're not already here, you can get them and bring them back.
So this is a wonderful time. Thank you so much, Rabbi David, for message. Powerful. I want to invite Elizabeth Wrigley, please. Can you? I will go there.
You can
come down and stand.
Yes, I will be there. So let's give thanks to the Lord. I want to invite Jonah. He's not here. Jonah Rosenthal. Not.
Jonah and Heather just had a baby. And
okay.
Oh, yeah.
There have two members, so not one.
Yeah.
So I want to invite Jerry Hartwell. Can you come, please, forward? Also, Sharon Hartwell, please. Wonderful couple. I want to invite Zachary Fanton. Can you come also? Also, Melanie Huggs, please, can you come to us, please? She's in the ministry already. She's doing the, how it's called? Not sound, but visual ministry. Also, we want to invite Janet Ward. Can you come also, please? Where is Janet? Okay, welcome. So we want to pray for you. Thank you for willing heart. Thank you for this chance and this step to be a member of the synagogue. It's a great honor for us, and also it's a great joy for us. And I believe for the Lord. You hear today the message about importance to be a member of the body of Messiah. So we want to pray for you, we want to bless you, and with all congregation. Amen.
So everyone who's sitting down right now, why don't you stand up and just lift up your hands in a posture of blessing towards these. And we have beautiful certificates Yeah, you can frame these and put them on your wall. And also, we have planted a tree in Israel in your name for each one of you. And we're giving you a certificate commemorating that.
Probably, Zachary, it was yours, probably.
Of course it was yours.
Gentlemen. Great. So join us. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. We thank you that you are adding to us continually. We thank you for those who are turning to you, those who are putting their trust, their faith in Messiah Yeshua, and those who are saying, count on me. Those who are standing shoulder to shoulder together so that all of us together can do so much more than we could ever do just by ourselves. Thank you for the revelation of Messiah that each one of us accepts. And thank you for building us together through that revelation. Give us hearts one for another. I pray for these who are new members. I pray for those who are serving and for those who will be serving, that you will help them find their places of ministry here in the congregation so that they could make a real difference and that their efforts, Lord, would build up many. Lord, bless them. Help them in the building of their relationships and their friendships of every kind. We pray in Yeshua's name.
Hallelujah. Yeshua, we ask for all of them, Lord, and for all the congregation, Lord. Thank you so much for blessing us with this great people, Lord, your children, Lord. Thank you so much for their future in you. Thank you for their growth in you. Thank you so much. Protect them, and bless their families. B'shem Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen. Amen.
So... We're going to close with the Aaronic benediction. Then I want to ask you to come and congratulate all these folks. So if you're standing and you're alone, move a little bit so that you're not by yourself. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ye'er Adonai p'navelecha v'yichunecha yisa Adonai p'navelecha v'yasemlecha shalom. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep watch over you and protect you. The Lord cause the light of his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you his peace. In the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Shabbat shalom and mazel tov to the new members. Come down and greet them.